Hi there, I'm Kathy Bernard.
And I'm Barbara Klein, and we're the Two Boomer Babes.
This week, our series, Beyond the Face of Alzheimer's, continues. We've gone to the Alzheimer's Association. That's where Patty Hoffman currently sits on the national board. Now, Patty has a unique story. She isn't just an advocate for finding a cure or willing to offer support for those dealing with this tumultuous disease. She has a vested interest. You see, when she was 53, she started noticing cognitive changes.
Probably the first sign was I was in marketing, and we had sales meetings every month at a particular country club. Not country club, but what am I trying to say?
What you're listening to is the mind of someone with early onset Alzheimer's.
A banquet hall. See, it's words that don't come like they used to. It was once a month, and I was responsible for all of the speakers and, you know, everything. And I was driving to this particular facility, and all of a sudden I was just kind of out in this, it was a cornfield. And I'm looking all around, and I'm thinking, oh, no, I'm lost. And I did these meetings every month. And so I called my boss, and he was not a particularly compassionate person anyway. And I called him, and he says, where are you? And I said, I don't know. I don't know where I am. I'm out by a cornfield.
This is the story of Patty Hoffman.
After that troubling encounter, Patty knew something was definitely wrong. But her friends and family seemed to think it was normal since she was so young.
It was young, and, you know, somebody said, oh, it's probably just menopause. I got real forgetful. And I said, no, I've been done with that. We just kind of kept blaming it on stress.
But Patty didn't believe that stress was the culprit. So she and her husband, Russ Graciano, visited the doctor.
We went to a neurologist that was recommended, and they did some testing, and, you know, they talked to me for a little bit, and they really just kind of blew it off. They didn't really, this is how I felt. I felt like they thought I didn't want to work anymore. You know, I was feeling very defensive. You know, they would make comments that sounded like, oh, this girl doesn't want to work anymore. She's just, you know, faking it or this or that. And that's how I felt. And that particular doctor, they did a number of tests, but they just said it was stress.
In the case of early onset disease, I'm not surprised that initially a doctor wouldn't be thinking of Alzheimer's disease in a 55-year-old who comes in saying, I'm having a hard time concentrating and remembering things.
Dr. Jason Karlowish, director of the Making Sense of Alzheimer's Project at the University of Pennsylvania.
The brain's a complicated organ to measure. It's a complicated organ to work up. And early on, when the symptoms and signs are very subtle, it's not at all surprising that, you know, initially people make light of them, dismiss them, or don't even notice them.
Patty left the neurologist feeling dissatisfied with the diagnosis and with the way she was treated. So she changed doctors and hospitals and, under new care, opted to have a spinal tap.
With the spinal fluid, they could see the amyloid proteins in the fluid. And they diagnosed it as Alzheimer's. Not everyone wants to have a spinal tap, and it is rather invasive, but, you know, I wanted to know. I needed an answer.
And with that answer came a surprising breath of fresh air.
I felt very relieved. It was sort of like, okay, now I know I'm not going crazy. I know, you know, I'm not just being negligent or spacey or whatever. It actually helped me to get a diagnosis and then say, okay, now I have it. Now I have to move on. I felt relieved.
Dr. Karlowish has had similar experiences when disclosing diagnoses to his patients.
Typically, when I disclose the diagnosis to a patient and the family member, I often find that the family member is more upset than the patient, at least visibly. Even after I probe and ask questions like, you know, I realize this must be difficult. Can you tell me how you're feeling? The patients oftentimes are fairly not bothered. I've occasionally had instances where the patient is very bothered and very upset by the diagnosis. And so it's all the more reason, obviously, to ask patients how they're feeling after you've told it. But that's unusual for the patient who has dementia to become very bothered and upset by the diagnosis. Although over time, as they start to learn about and make sense of the diagnosis, and we see depression and anxiety develop in those patients.
Fortunately for Patty, depression wasn't an option. With her diagnosis came an acceptance that her life wasn't over and an understanding that she could still contribute to society.
They did not want me to continue working. I then thought, this is great, I'll volunteer. So I started volunteering at the homeless shelter and food pantry. And believe it or not, they're very regimented in that particular place. And, you know, each family, you had to look at this chart and figure out, okay, they have two children, then they get this many of this, and then if they have a baby, they get this many diapers. And I couldn't keep up with who was getting what. And so I started buying diapers myself at, where was it, Russ? Aldi, so that I could give more diapers out because I felt sorry for the parents who only got 6 diapers for a week.
You know, I'm also thinking that you had to leave your job that was probably pretty well paying. That must have been very difficult financially for you all.
It changed our whole financial picture, sure. And so, you know, I realized that that's why people that have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, I guess depending on your job, maybe some jobs you could keep, but I can't think of too many because you, in any job, you have to pay attention to details.
Details are in somewhat of the past for Patty. Since her diagnosis, she believes in living in the moment, even if special moments will never quite play out as she once dreamed.
I really don't plan ahead very much at all. I think the saddest part for me is how limited I am with my grandchild. I have a little grandson, and you know, I can't just go over and babysit him, or I can't take him for a walk by ourselves. I can't. He's only, well, he was about 4, honey, when I was diagnosed? Well, he's 6 now, but he also has special needs. So not only would anybody have to be careful watching him, I can't. You know, I can't watch him by myself.
For Ross, Patty's husband, he's still adjusting to his new role as a caregiver.
Well, it's forces you to, I guess, refocus your energies, be much less cavalier about what's going on, and you know, your schedules, your timetables. It forces you to look to the future with much less confidence than you might have had previously. And it is time consuming. I mean, not only are you now doing things for yourself, but you're doing a lot of things for your partner that you wouldn't have been doing otherwise. And thus far, I mean, we've been able to manage. I don't think it's been traumatic. But what the future will hold, what the future will require is really kind of a scary thought, and I really don't have all the answers.
Russ and Patty both rely heavily on the support and resources available through the Alzheimer's Association.
Getting involved in that at the very, very beginning was what has kept me active, because I can still speak, I can still walk, I can still talk to other people about it. I can, you know, and as long as I can do that, I feel like I have a purpose And I can, sometimes I can, when someone's just been diagnosed, I can sit there and say, okay, now your life's not over. It's going to change, but it's not over. You know, you just have to start doing things differently. So with, I would say the association has been my biggest supporter and continues to be.
Now at 60, Patty remains optimistic about life. And when words, thoughts, or even the everyday joys of life escape her, she has another supporter ready to remind her who she really is.
Well, Patty is an extremely compassionate, extremely caring, extremely loving individual. She was then, and she still is now. She just forgets it occasionally.
But you're there to remind her, right, Russ?
I am here to remind her, and I do that fairly well.
Do you say, like, give me a kiss, Patty?
Yeah, things like that.
We hope that you've enjoyed our series, Beyond the Face of Alzheimer's, done in collaboration with AARP. We would like to send a special thank you to everyone who welcomed us into their homes and journeyed to our studios to share their Alzheimer's story. We would also like to acknowledge Dr. Jason Karlowish for his medical guidance and Aileen Ellis for her writing contributions. And before we go, we must also pay tribute to two Alzheimer's patients that have passed since the series began. Ralph Jenny, beloved husband of Olivia, and my wonderful dad, Mike Israel.